Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 80.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 80, where we have one mission, and that is to help interested people around the world learn and improve at jazz piano by providing structured and organized jazz piano education. I'm your host, as always, Brendan Lowe, and thank you so much for joining me today. So, today we have a very special episode. It is episode 80. I can't even believe that. We have 20 more episodes, and we're going to be at episode 100. Now, if you're listening to the podcast, or if you've been listening, and you want to show your support, I'd really appreciate it. If you're enjoying the content, one way to give back is to go to iTunes, simply type in Jazz Piano School Podcast, and you can rate the podcast, leave a review. You don't even have to type anything. You can just click 5 stars to help the podcast grow, help other people find the podcast. I really appreciate it. And like I was saying, in this episode, we have a really fun episode, and that's going to be, I'm going to do an improv analysis, an improvisation analysis. So what I'm going to do is a walkthrough of the tune I Should Care, and it's just going to start off with me improvising, and I'm going to build a solo in front of you so that you can see it and kind of get into my thoughts as I'm going through and thinking and kind of analyzing the tune, right? What I'm thinking about as I'm looking at these chords, what my mind may be thinking, kind of the options we have, and all that good stuff. So that's what we're going to be doing today, so I'm super, super excited about that, and this is going to be a tune, probably a 3 or 4 week series, actually. I think this will be really, really helpful. And one of my teachers in college did this, and it was super helpful. He did this a lot in class. He would actually build solos with us, string them together, and then, you know, we got a glimpse into how things were constructed, right? How the solos were kind of put together. So anyway, that's what we're going to be going to do in episode 80, this episode right now. So let's get right to it. So here we go. What we're going to be doing is, again, so we're starting off with I Should Care. Now, I Should Care, the first two bars have, the first three bars are 2/5. So as I see this tune, this is exactly what I'm thinking. So we have D minor going to G7. We have E minor 7 going to A7. D minor going to G7 and C major 7. So pretty much that entire sequence is really in the key of C. You can pretty much play C over that if you want, over the entire thing, right? Now, the only thing is that A7 chord is something you're going to want to target, because that's going to lead us back into D, right? So if you're playing a C here on that A7 chord, it's going to be the sharp 9, which is okay. So what I'm going to do here again is build a solo in super slow-mo so you can kind of see what's happening. I might change it up. I might do some other movements, but here we go. So if I'm thinking 1, 2, 3, 4. So I like that. Okay, I like that first line. Now, as I'm improvising, I'm thinking about, I'm listening to my ear, right? So what I started on was the 7th there. And I'm approaching the 3rd. That's kind of my thought process, is I'm using some approach notes, chromatic approach with kind of a slide. Now, what my ear hears, just me personally, is going down to 5th. So that's kind of just what my ear hears. And if you hear that, you know, if you hear something while you're improvising, feel free to do it. So what we have now is I added the flat 13 going into the 5th, okay, for the A7. And actually what my ear continues to hear also is going down to the 3rd. On that A7, all right? So we have 7th. Here's my approach. Let me see. Now, I haven't heard anything yet, so I don't really know what I'm going to do here. That might work. Let me see. I kind of like that. That's a common, that movement right there is a very common pattern. It's going from the 3rd, the flat 9, going from a dominant chord to a minor chord. And then resolving down to the 3rd, right? That's a very, very common pattern. So let me see. I'm going to do that. So what I'm going to do here is from the third, I'm going to go to the flat nine and then resolve down to the fifth of the D minor chord. All right, so that's what we have here so far. So you can see, I mean, this is the kind of practice. This is kind of like the broken solo method of practicing. I used to do this all the time. I'd just sit at my keyboard and I'd be like, no, I don't like this, right? And then I continue to build solos. And for the beginners and intermediate, people really learning to, you want to really learn to get into the harmonies. And this is a really good way to practice doing it, right? So we have, let me see. I kind of like that. So I'm essentially writing a solo right now, right? Now, obviously, it's one thing to improvise and another thing to kind of write it out, but this sort of slow mechanical process is going to help you connect the harmony. So what I'm doing here is that I have the fifth. So this is a very common, you know, just stack, right? You can stack the minor sevenths, right, going up based on the chord tone. So I have my rootless voicing here. I'm just playing inversions coming from the key, right? Right, so all I did here was, let me see. Right, so 5, 7, 9. So what I did here was a little kind of trill. Right? All right, so from the beginning. So that's a very, very solid line. I mean, you have a nice phrase, you got some space in there, and you have a resolution. You really want to kind of practice those resolutions to ends of phrases. You know, Benny Green does this very well. He'll end phrases, right? Let me see. Right, stuff like that. Be-bo-do-da, or, you know, just very clear cut. Phrasing. So we have our first four bars down. Okay. So now, and again, there's so much you can do here with these types of chords, right? With these, all these two fives, again, my main thought process is kind of connecting the two. And the connection from the two to the five can really be heard when you're going to land on the thirds, especially. That's why I've included in the thirds of my solo. Third, right? Third. So with all those thirds, you're really hearing the movements of the two fives. Two, five, two, five, two, five, one. And you finally hear the one resolution, right? Now, another thing that I see, again, with I Should Care is there's lots of five chords. We can do a lot of different tritones. We could stay on the sus chord, right? If we just wanted to play G sus and then go to A sus maybe. And then maybe just land on C. I mean, there's a lot of opportunity for reharm and things like that. But anyway, here's our line. Two, three. Now we have our E minor 7 flat 5, right? So let me see here. Let's see what I want to do. So again, my thought process, I'm starting on the 5 here. I'm just trying to hear or listen to what my ear hears. I'm trying to target chord tones, right? And then lead into that A7 going into the D minor and resolve it somehow to the D minor. No. You know, that might work. I kind of like that, you know. And again, you know, when I'm soloing in live time, I don't get a chance to do this, but this sort of slow practice helps you break your lines down, right? So here, this line here is kind of nice. I'm starting on the third, just moving up to the flat 5, going to the 7th, going to the natural 9, okay, over my minor 7 flat 5 chord, which is available to us. don't we do that? Let me see if I can remember what I did now. Yeah. All right, so again, starting from the third, flat five, seven, nine, seven. So again, this is kind of a pivot, right? Then I land on the sharp nine, right? Again, for our A7 chord. And so I'm using our altered scale to resolve down to the D minor. Sharp nine, flat nine, one, flat 13. Let me see what I do. Yeah. Flat 13, 3, sharp 9, flat 9, 1. So again, creating these altered tensions from the altered scale using sharp 9 and going to flat 9 is very, very common resolving to a minor chord, right? You know, stuff like that, right? You can really, really hear the resolution with that line. So here's the line. Maybe I'll just add a little 11 to the 9. So again, with this, the second four bars of I Should Care, we have E minor 7 flat 5 going to A7. So we have a minor 2-5-1. That's really what I'm thinking when I see that. We have a minor 2-5-1. So I'm trying to string my minor into the A7, then resolve it down to my D minor. Now, another thing we have is a quick 2-5 on the last bar of this. And what's really nice to do is, obviously, when I resolve my into my D minor, since it goes up quickly for just a quick 2-5, it's nice to kind of just repeat that motif, whatever your resolution was. That's why I kind of added that nice little 5, 11, 9, 5. Excuse me, did I play 5? Yeah, 5, 11, 9. And you can kind of change the rhythm up a little bit if you want to, right? You can do all chord notes here, right? Do be da, do be da. So you change it up a little bit, right? So let me see. Sorry, what did I play? Yeah, there we go. It's hard to remember what I played. Okay, so from the beginning, again. So again, this is what we're doing. It's just the building of the solo. Two, three, four. And that's it. So that's the first eight bars. Now, looking at the third third system, we have C major 7 for a bar. Now we have a minor 2-5 that would go to the relative minor. So we have B minor 7 going to E7, but it doesn't resolve to the A minor 7. It's kind of like it just gives you a little preview of that, but then it goes for another 2-5 to the 4. So we have G minor 7 going to F major 7, right? So C major 7 to B minor 7, E7, 2-5-1. So again, what I'm thinking here is the C major, we just have that for a bar. So these are going to be pretty segmented bars here, right? So for the C major, I'm thinking just C major. Maybe I go... So whatever my resolution is, I have to resolve my minor 2-5 into G minor. So or you can be thinking F, right? But from the B minor 7 to the E7, it resolves into that G minor, the 2-5 into F. So here's my C major. Maybe I'll just stay with what I just played. Let me see. Yeah. That's nice, right? Okay. So my thought process again was C major, just C major. And what I did here was a little slide with my thumb. You can also cross under. It's probably better fingering wise. Sometimes I just use the motion of my hand with my thumb. So now I went up my rootless voicing, arpeggiated, come down in chromatic. I landed on the 7th of my B minor 7. I stopped. I did an approach note trill right to the third. So again, guys, thirds are super, super important. When you have quick 2/5s, as you've seen in all these quick little 2/5s per measure, right? When you have a 2/5 per measure, really emphasizing the third because that's going to be the change, right? Let me just take a second to explain this. So when you have a change in a 2/5, right? Let's talk about the shells for a second. The only key, the shells are the third and seven. They're the key quality of the notes. Now, when you look at a 2/5, there's only one shell that moves in a 2/5. Right? So in the shells dictate the quality of the chord. So if you want to really emphasize the movement, right? The movement of the 2/5, no matter what it is, changing that seventh into the third of the next chord will always, always really reflect the harmonic movement. So when you do this in your solo, you're going to be really reflecting. People are going to be able to hear. You're going to be able to hear the movement of the harmonies very, very, very well. Otherwise, you don't hear that movement. Otherwise, your solo just sounds like it's staying in the same place. So that's a very key point, right? So when I have my, again, going back to the first four bars, right? Third, right? So I emphasize the change from the seventh to the third. What was the rhythm? Right? So third. Now, I didn't emphasize the change. Well, I kind of did because we went seventh, third, right? Now here, that was just an C major seven, but with this little third one, right? So that kind of emphasized. So emphasizing those changes between the thirds is really, really helpful. Back to the C major seven here. Right? So this right here is just a chromatic approach from this 11. This is a really nice approach on all minor chords, right? That's a really nice approach to start any line off. You can go any sort of direction, right? Right? Sorry, I'm not doing that fingering too well. Right, so that's a really, really nice approach on all minor chords going from the 11th and sliding down to the third. And then I just roll, okay, so I go third. This is basically the 5 again to the 13 of the C7, right? And then I land on the 5th, okay? So for those first, in the third system, the 4 bars. And I add a little kind of hang back, a little delay, right? Right, so just a little emphasis, right? A little kind of rhythm, you know, stagger almost, right? Right, it's really kind of hard to explain that, but again, that's more of a subtlety. So let me see. Let's try it from the beginning. Again, I'm going to have the transcription available for you guys. That will be on the podcast page, or you can go to get it at jazzpianoschool.com/podcast80. You'll be able to get the transcription of the solo so you can look at it while I'm talking about it. But here's from the beginning. Let's see if I can remember. Was that it? I think that was it, man. See, it's tough. I didn't want to write it out though, right? I wanted to build it in front of you so I wasn't playing something, right? Yeah, that sounds close enough. Yep. Okay, now we have the last four bars of the A section. I'm not going to go through the entire piece. This will be the last one. So again, we have another 2/5 going to the relative minor, and this time it does resolve to the A minor 7. So we ended off here. Sorry. Now Again, I love starting my minor two fives off definitely with some sort of chord tone. Let me see. Again, I'm just trying to, maybe I should add a little bit more space here. I mean, these are kind of cliche lines, you know. But they're good for you guys to know. And so this little thing right here, this is just outlining basically an E7 chord from the flat 9. So I'm not really thinking B minor 7 here. Again, a lot of the bebop players would just think about the dominant chord when soloing. So they'd think dominant into major or dominant into minor, like the resolution. They wouldn't really think about the 2 chord. They'd just play all dominant for the full measure, even though it was a 2-5-1, and that would lead into the major chord. That would be like Bird, Dizzy, all these guys, Sonny Stitt. So they'd be playing like the bebop scale, right? And that would just, that C7 bebop scale would lead into the F. And they'd still play they're just thinking C7 even over the G minor, right? And that would just resolve. So like in this case, the E minor 7 over the B minor 7. You're just thinking all E7, you know, with that flat 9 leading into A minor. I'm hearing something else, but I'm not sure. But yeah, that's okay. I like that. So we have the two minor 2-5. Now this is a very, very common progression. I want to talk about this. We have the A7 leading into the D7. So basically this right here, right? This is like our minor 6 going to the dominant 2, and then the dominant 2 changes into the minor 2 going to the 5. You see that? So we have two 2-5s, right? We have an A minor to the D7, which leads us to the 2, then the 2 dominant changes into the 2 minor and leads back into the 5, and then obviously back, it's kind of to the 1, right? So this is a very common progression here. So this is a nice thing. It's just a really nice progression when you hear this, because having that dominant changing to the minor, it's a really, really nice progression. Again, so we want to emphasize that change when we have our our A minor 7 going to our D7. Then again, the only note that changes, and this is a really good tip just for improvisation in general, when you want to emphasize the changes in the harmonies, right? So I have A minor 7 going to D7 here. Now I have an F sharp and a C, and this D7 is changing into a D minor 7. So with a D7, right, then only one note is going to change to move to the D minor 7, and that's F sharp to F. So when you only have one note or maybe two notes that change, that are very important to the harmony, you want to emphasize that, because that's going to really bring out the harmonic change of the tune, right? So on this A minor, what was the first thing? Let me see. Now again, if you're using your left hand, you can obviously play, you're playing the F sharp if you don't have it in your solo. So what I played the first time was, but I'm hitting that third up top to emphasize the resolution. But again, I could do it in my right hand somehow, right? I could do that, right? I could do that. So I'm emphasizing the change from the F sharp to the F. And like I was saying before, if you don't necessarily do it in your right hand, your left hand will obviously do it while comping. And you want to make sure you do that with your left hand while comping. But since this is obviously improv. I like this line. So 9, 7, 5. And then again, this is just chord scale below. leading up to my third. I like that. So, see, a little thing here, too, which is nice, is that line I played earlier. So what you'll hear, again, which is nice, is with really interesting and well-played solos, like, you'll hear brilliant, like, Benny Green will play a motif or something earlier on in a solo, right? Then he'll have lines in between the solo, but then he'll morph the motif that he played from the first couple measures and play it down at the very bottom somehow, but maybe in a different form. Or like Wynton does this a lot, right? He'll take a motif, play another motif section over the bridge, but then use that motif from the very beginning, maybe like even three choruses before. Like they're remembering their whole entire solo, which is really fun. From so far before, and then they'll play that motif and use it maybe in the next chorus, or maybe they'll skip a chorus and go back to the motif they used from chorus one, play it in chorus three, right? That's how like in tune they are. So by adding this, that's what we did, right? If you remember, we used that little line there previously back, let me see, where was it? The previous four bars, right? We had... Right? Then we start our line off again. Let me see. So you see how that, it kind of connects, right? It connects your solo having both of those things. It's like, oh, he just played that, you know, in the last measure, and then he used it again. And I don't want to say it's a lick, really. I mean, it's a lick, but it's connected within your solo, right? It's intentional. So let me see. Is that what I, yeah. I don't know if I like that. And again, what my teacher would do would be playing this, and then he'd have us be like, suggest ideas. Well, why don't you use this movement? Instead of going, why don't you move down? And then I would be like, you know, I'd be like, well, why don't we try this? And he'd be like, okay, I like that part. Yeah, you know, so we're building an improv solo together, right? I like ending on the nine here again, because we started on it again. This is bothering me. Just the first, maybe I don't use that then. I think I like that better. Is that what I played? Yeah. I like that. So let me see. I like that. So there we go. I'll stick with that. So we start on the third. So this is just a very common, again, a very common movement, starting on the third of the minor chord. De-da-da-da-da. So third to third, right? You should be taking notes of all these movements. And that's what you want to be practicing or taking out of this analysis, right? Is the movements from that I'm doing, because these can be used. These little movements are building blocks, right? They're like Legos, like I always talk about. So it's not necessarily a lick, right? That you're not going to use this as a lick, but it is. It's like a Lego, right? So now from that third, you can go anywhere. You know, you can resolve down this way. You can do that. You can do that. There's just so many movements, right? That's why when JPS and I teach improv, we're not teaching licks. We're teaching building blocks to help build your solo. Nice. All right, so let's take it from the beginning. I'm going to do it slowly for myself to make sure I remember everything. Uh again. That line is yeah. Kind of like that rhythm better a little bit because it's not the same. That's the exact same line as we played here, right? So kind of sang it a little bit differently. Is kind of adding a little spin, right? It's adding a little bit more of a, oh, I use the same line, but I put a little spin on it. So here we go again from the top. I can't remember. Yeah, I gotta. All right. So again, this is what you would do. You'd practice your line, right? And look at the movement, but then deconstruct it and use those movements for other lines that you'd build over those changes. I like that. All right, so I think I got it. Here we go. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. I did the other rhythm. So there it is, right? Let me try it one more time because I played that rhythm wrong. But yeah, so this is the solo, right? And again, these are the exact things I'm thinking when I'm improvising. Obviously, it takes a while to get to this point where your mind is thinking like this or kind of feeling like this. And again, a lot of it's using my ear, like where do I want to go to? But my ear is trained because of all the practice from slow practice, like I was doing in the beginning. I would do this so slowly in what's the word? I guess just taking your time, right? You just want to take your time connecting the chords. Otherwise, your improv solos kind of just sound like they float. They don't go anywhere because you're not attacking the changes, right? The specific movements of the melodies. All right. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. I screwed up again. Let me try one more time. This is kind of tough. Whatever. There we go. So again, that's kind of the approach, right? That's the approach. Now we have nice constructed lines. We have some space. We're connecting the movements of the melody. And we're really getting inside the harmonies this way, right? With the connection of the all the different thirds and looking at the changes, you have to really notice these small subtleties in the movements of the harmonies. The A minor going to the D7, and then that one change, right? That one change is really, otherwise you're just kind of playing. It doesn't really sound like it goes anywhere. You know, if you're not hitting those changes. And again, the way to take this analysis and practice it and work on it is to do exactly what I just did. All right, so take a note, you know, maybe an A over the D minor 7, connect it into the G. Right, so again, I'm attacking the third. That's just kind of, an instinct. It's just an instinct to hit that change in the 2-5 because it happens so fast, right? You could even go a half step below. All you know, something like that, right? And then we're on our minor 7 flat 5. You know, stuff like that. So again, you're working really, really slowly. You can actually even work slower than that. And sit there and build your lines, build your connections, and find them. You know, it's really about working out the kinks, because you have to really learn what works but through the connections. Otherwise, it's not going to come out on the spot. And then finally, when you get stuff up to tempo, it starts to come out in your playing, right? Once you've kind of worked through slowly, then you can start to up the tempo just a hair, right? Using motifs in different areas. So anyway, that is the analysis for the, again, for the transcription of this. You can go to jazzpianoschool.com/podcast80, get the transcription sent to you. It will also be on the blog post as well. Okay, so I hope you guys enjoyed that. I'll continue with the second section of I Should Care, and maybe I'll do two more podcasts if I get good feedback on this and you guys are enjoying this, on another tune, where I'll show you, you know, obviously maybe there'll be some different harmonies. But until that time, work on this, work on I Should Care, work on slowly connecting your improv solos together, and I will talk to you in the next podcast, and happy practicing.